Acts chapter 26, from 12 to 29. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defence. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," replied Paul. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this had escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all those who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." New beginnings. This talk has been given to me through a scenario I found myself in, and through conversations with others, and it's challenging to all of us. I believe God is calling us to action now more so than ever. A new beginning, here together, it's a job not just for me. God is calling me to lead us, not to take the lead alone. New beginning for us as a church, not me as a person. This chapter is about new beginnings and new birth. Acts is a huge book, and this chapter has so much in it, but we're focusing on particular verses. I can hear a sound in the background. Can anyone else? Is it an echo? Oliver, is that... It sounded all right to you. Yeah, I can. Is that why, that one? What can I hear coming from the back, though? You can't hear it. No, it sounds from over there. Oh, okay. Sorry for the interruption. So Acts is a huge book, and this chapter has so much in it, but we're focusing on some of the particular verses. Verses 19 to 20, and for this one, I like the New Living Translation. And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem, and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles. All that must repent of their sins and turn to God, and prove they have changed by the good things they do. How often have you heard this? I lead my life by Christian values. I'm a good person. This is a challenge when someone says it. But these verses say, repent, change, then prove by your good works. Not your good works make you a Christian or secure your eternal life. And they certainly don't build your relationship with God. This, or someone says, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Both these things are challenging statements, and our response is essential. In fact, it's life-saving in the eternal sense. This is about our relationship with God, knowing Jesus, who he was, crucified, died, and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins. This is what it's about, and it's what we're called to do. This is our new start. This is our exciting moment. If we look back briefly to verse 16, Paul's commission to be an apostle is given at the time of the vision on the Damascus Road. Galatians 1:11 to 12 talks of this moment. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by a revelation from Jesus Christ. Paul has had his Damascus Road experience, a saying you may have heard in different contexts. When a person sees the light, when something is revealed to them, when they realise something was happening all along that they knew nothing about. For Paul, it's life-changing. How could he have not acted on that information? This was a light bulb moment. Once seen, never forgotten. It couldn't be ignored. Acts 26:13. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? Jesus revealed himself to Saul on the road to Damascus. However, in 26:19, Paul stated, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. What our Lord said to Paul, in effect, was, your whole life is to be overpowered or subdued by me. You are to have no end, no aim, no purpose but mine. And the Lord says to us, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go. When the Lord offers us a new beginning, he wants us to grasp it. This is a new beginning for us as a church, and what he is calling us to be will not be easy. We are already few in number. We are already stretched. We have fewer of us than we may have had for a while, and those few are doing many jobs. But we aren't called to be comfortable. Paul wasn't. We aren't called to sit back and wait for God to do the work. We're called to be the beginning for someone. In verses 24 to 29, namely Festus's reaction to Paul's challenge, Festus was made to feel a bit uncomfortable, but that's what it's like to be told you've got something wrong. If we don't provoke thought, we can't help those to learn about Jesus. Lives aren't changed by not speaking out. A direct question requires a direct response. And if someone doesn't give us one, they're definitely going to go away thinking about it. It wasn't easy for Paul, It wasn't easy for Jesus, and he never said it was going to be easy for us. In verse 28, Agrippa says, "In a short time, you think you can make me a Christian?" Was he asking or deflecting, answering the question? He couldn't deny the prophets, yet if he openly agreed, he would be denying his Jewish beliefs and then would need to openly accept. This isn't unusual. When asking someone a difficult question, they often answer with another question so as not to commit. We see this in the news all the time. But this can't really be denied, can it? In my testimony last week, I talked about how the beginning was for me. How a person took their job of being a messenger for God so seriously that as well as through actions, they asked me difficult questions. What is God to you? Have you explored faith before? Where did this topic come from today? Obviously from New Beginnings, but also from a chance meeting. I shared this with the leaders earlier in the week, that John Paul and I went to a pub in the week for dinner, and we sat in a small room and we had a conversation with a couple, or I did, well, before John Paul came in. Originally, we were there for the same purpose. We were using up vouchers that we got before Christmas to get a discount. Yeah, that's what everyone's been doing in January, haven't they? So we were using this, so I asked the people if they lived in the village, because they said they had 9 vouchers. So I thought, well, they clearly go there a lot. They had a lot to use. And they explained to me where they live, somewhere over behind the schoolhouse. And I said, oh, I'm the new minister at Christ Church. And then we had a conversation, and they said, there's a new lady at All Saints, which I said, yes, there was. And then John Paul came in, and we had our dinner, and at some point there was another part of the conversation, and we talked about, I must have said something about the church, and they said, you won't see me in there. And I didn't say at that time, because it wasn't appropriate, but I did think to myself, why not? It wasn't the right time to ask them that question, but I wished I had. But what happens in a church? Why would someone say they won't go in? Do you know what happens in a church? What we do? What we bring to the village is community. We have Pandas. We have Rooted, our youth group. We have Take a Break. We have our Ukraine evenings. Fellowship. And all this aside from what we do on a Sunday. What are we? What is a church? A community of people that firstly want to introduce people to Jesus. But secondly, a people that inherently want life to be better for others. Want others to know what we know. It's not a secret. Since my induction on Saturday, and being able to give my testimony, I've been reflecting on that. Why do I want to introduce people to Jesus? Well, one of the biggest things is my life is better. I remember my life without God, and I don't want that life again. A cycle of worry, irrational thought, and without inner peace. A loneliness for a person that can be surrounded by people. A person saying they lead a Christian life is very different to the life you lead being motivated by your relationship with God that moves you to behave like Christ, to be Christ to those you meet. That's the challenge that people need to hear. The truth of it is your eternal life is not saved by good works alone. That's not salvation. Christ died for our sins. He bridges the gap between us and our Heavenly Father. We gain this from a relationship with Jesus, not through good deeds. Those good deeds are what comes out of our relationship with Christ. Paul was devoted to a person, not just to a cause. He was absolutely Jesus Christ. He saw nothing else and he lived for nothing else. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What motivates you to tell someone else about Jesus? Or how can you go out feeling motivated to tell someone about Jesus? Do you feel your life is harder being a Christian? Or do you want to share the peace that you feel? Are you waiting for someone to ask why we go to church? Or are you ready to tell them what church means to us and what church does in action? It's not something we do on a Sunday. It's our whole life. Excuse the pun, but it's time to act. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that we all see this as a new beginning for us. We pray for new opportunities. Lord, we have welcomed so many new people into the building in recent months, with our work, with those from Ukraine and in the village, with our Christmas services and with the induction. We pray that our church continues to use its building in the community. Lord, we ask for opportunities to continue to grow relationships with those that come in. And the confidence to not only share the good news through actions, but to talk about you with the community of stock and our wider circles. We give thanks, Father, for the beautiful multi-purpose building that we have, that we can use it to welcome so many different groups in. We pray with thanks that we have the people and the resources to welcome in those that visit Take a Break, Pandas, Rooted, and our Ukraine evenings. We give thanks that today we will have a fellowship lunch. We pray for those that are willing to cook, serve and clear up to enable us to offer our hospitality in this way. Lord, we ask that we enjoy this moment of sharing food as we eat together, thinking about what it means to be a family and in relationship with one another. And as we look forward to the future, Lord, let us take our lead and example from you. In Jesus' name, amen.